Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Patel Retail Limited Q3 and 9 months FY26 results conference call hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak from Kirin Advisors Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Ronak.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Patel Retail Limited for Q3 and 9-month FY26. The management team, Sanjay Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rahul Patel, Mr. Hitesh Sawlani, Chief Financial Officer. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Rahul for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good afternoon. On behalf of the entire management team, we extend a heartfelt gratitude to all our shareholders, investors, and partners for their continued trust and support in our journey. Patel Retail Limited is a fast-growing, value-driven retail and FMCG company with focus on spices, having an integrated model spanning retail, manufacturing, and exports. The company operates stores under the flagship brand, Patel's R-Mart, owned brands like Indian Chaska, Patel Fresh, and Patel Essentials under manufacturing. Under manufacturing, the company is focused on private label manufacturing and key brands in this particular Indian Chaska, Patel Fresh, Blue Nation, and other home care brands. The company has set priority to increase private label contribution as private label supports higher gross margins, better inventory control, and strong brand equity. The company plans to increase private label contribution to 22% from current 17% over the next years. Under manufacturing and processing, management continues to focus on improving capacity utilization while leveraging a strong base of backward integration. Strict cost discipline is maintained through extensive in-house processing and testing capabilities, enabling better control over quality, efficiency, and overall cost structure. Private label contribution continues to increase and is positively impacting margins. Starting with a single grocery outlet in 1990, we have today evolved into one of the most trusted neighborhood supermarket chains in the Mumbai metropolitan region, operating 49 stores across Thane, Raigad, with over 2.10 lakh sq ft of retail space. Our cluster-based expansion model ensures strong local market dominance, supply chain efficiency, and cost control. We serve India's growing lower middle class and aspiring upper middle class consumers with a wide range of fresh staples and FMCG. The following performance reflects our Q3 FY26 results. Our income grew by 35.51% year-on-year to INR 311.12 crores. We significantly improved our profitability with EBITDA climbing 63.59% year-on-year to INR 24.91 crores, bringing our EBITDA margin to 8.01% and an increase of 137 basis points. Our PAT showed exceptional growth, surging 95.89% year-on-year to INR 12 crores, and the PAT increased by 119 basis points to 3.86%. This excellent quarter resulted in an EPS of INR 3.59, reflecting a 44.18% growth. For the 9 months of FY26, we successfully maintained our growth trajectory. Our total income for 9 months reached INR 719.75 crores, marking a  19.05% year-on-year increase. We grew our EBITDA by 33.79% to INR 60.34 crores, achieving an EBITDA margin of 8.38%, which shows an improvement of 104 basis points. Our PAT for 9 months increased by 60.59% year-on-year to INR 29.07 crores, with PAT percent improving by 104 basis points to 4.04%. Overall, our EPS for the 9 month year was rupees 10.08, representing a solid 36.22% growth. This results underline a steady growth trajectory and the benefits of integrated business model. Hello?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes. We can take on Q&A now.
All right, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vinod Shah from VS Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. So I have some couple of questions. So how realistic is the target of increasing private label contribution from 17% to 22% plus in the medium term?
Right. By focusing on the placement of that products, we are also trying to enter into the suburban markets of the exterior of other states when it comes to brand Indian Chaska. We are trying to introduce new SKUs that we have found essential in the current years and is catching on the trend to be made under our own brand. Overall, it's just about giving the better quality at the right price, and eventually we'll see the growth from 17% to 22%.
Okay. Which private label like categories like spices, staples, and FMCG are driving the highest growth?
For now, it is Indian Chaska, which we had launched around a year back. We did an exceptional revenue of around 8 crores this year, and we plan to grow on 15 to 20% month on month. The overall percentage of at the year end should give you an overall impact of 2-3% by just Indian Chaska. And when it comes to our other brand, Patel Essentials, Blue Nation, and our Indian Chaska, but not the powder spices, but the other segments where we do snacks, which we sell in our own stores, that should contribute the rest of it, right?
Okay. And one last question. How does Patel Retail manage quality control and trust as private label volume scales up?
Yes. So, sir, we have our own manufacturing unit. One is in Mumbai. The other two are in Kutch. So we have different products for the different products are being processed in different facilities. That's how we maintain the contamination and the allergic and the allergen control. And when it comes to the quality control, so we have our own in-house brand, which is very well equipped with very advanced machinery, which help us control the we must say as the parameters in certain, like for example, I'll give you of chili powder. We have a machinery called HPLC, which calculates our the heat value as well as the color value of the product. It also helps us calculate the curcumin of the turmeric. So all of these instruments help us in giving the consistent quality to our consumers, which they are used to, right? And plus our in-process quality control is where it helps us to control our rejection and eventually helps us in maintaining the cost for the same as well, right? Yeah, sir. So these are the facilities that we have, and these are the practices that we follow, which helps us giving the same quality to the consumers, which has been accepted from time to time.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So that's all from my side. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Priyansh Miri from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am, for giving me this opportunity. Sir, very great set of numbers. Congratulations. I have few questions, sir. What is our current utilization, sir, on manufacturing side of things?
So from manufacturing side of things, our current utilization when we talk in the season is close to 80 to 85%. Since the utilization of those machineries are calculated on the yearly basis, you would see a significant, not significant, but a drop to 20-30% less, because some of the products that we do process are seasonal in nature. But to tackle that problem and to get us a consistent utilization of our assets, what we have done is to increase the bandwidth of the product within our private labels, as I said earlier, right? So let's say a cumin, when it comes to the domestic market or the export market, the main season is from February start and goes on till July end. But the supply is adequate throughout the year, but the actual volume comes within this month. But to tackle that particular problem, we have introduced our own brand. We have introduced a product line of whole spices under our brand Indian Chesta, which helps us create that efficiency in the asset utilization. And similarly with other units as well. For powder spices, we have introduced Indian Chesta. For our Atta and Unit plant, we have introduced Patel Fresh. We also are doing private labels, so that also helps us in utilization of our assets. We are also approaching our export clients with the service of One Stop, where if, say, a client is growing and want to introduce all kind of SKUs. We have in regards to the food industry, precisely spices, whole spices, atta, and sesame and peanut. So we are offering them the service of private label as well. So that's another way that we are using the our machineries. And when it comes to peanut, we have a plan of, so we do deshelling of peanut, but we also do the removal of the skin of the peanut, which is eventually turned into a snack that we eat these days, as well as it is used in peanut butter as well, right? So eventually we plan on introducing our brand in peanut butter as well. With our distribution channel, which is being set by Indian Chesta, right? So it is one step at a time, right? So we have introduced Indian Chesta right now in multiple states, and moving forward with that similar line, we are going to introduce other products in regards to that same units as well. So that's our plan to increase the utilization. And right now, utilization in season comes to around 90%, and when it's not season, it is around 45 to 48%.
Okay, well, thank you, sir, for this detailed answer. Also, sir, when it comes to our store sales growth, right, for our retail sales channel, what sort of number is there for same store sales growth SSG?
Yes,
it would be around 8%.
Yes, go on. 8%. Same store growth is
8%. Okay. Year-on-year. This is a blended number, right? Including our white label and also the other brand product that we
blended number,
right? Is there any special tracking, sir, for our white label products, particularly in terms of, say, volume growth that we are witnessing?
Yes, we are tracking the private label growth on our retail store as well. We are growing almost in the range of 17 to 20%, and it is growing year on year basis.
Okay. One more question, sir. On our planned CapEx for next, say, 1 or 2 years, what is our distribution on our, say, manufacturing or expansion of retail sales? Can you throw some light on that?
Please repeat your question.
What is our CapEx plan, sir, on our manufacturing as well as retail side of the business?
So, CapEx for the retail store is almost 1,500 per sq ft, and on an average, we have a 5,000 sq ft store size. And as far as manufacturing and processing CapEx is concerned, we already have enough CapEx installed to meet the supply.
Okay. So, in manufacturing, we might not require any further CapEx for next 3 years, right? Is that understanding correct, sir?
Yeah, we can say that.
So, certainly not. From manufacturing side, certainly not.
Okay. So,
unless we
expanding the retail.
Yeah, unless we introduce a new product line, right, which would require some kind of modification within the machinery itself, which has already been installed. The base of the old product has been installed, right? Let's say I have a machinery of mango pulp right now. The same machinery can be used to make tomato puree as well with very minor modifications. So only in those cases there will be utilization of CapEx for manufacturing part. But aside from that, whatever work we are doing right now, we have enough capacity to cater for the next 2-3 years.
Sure, sir. One question, sir, on product side of things. Globally, when we see such smaller company like ours, right, there are case study when they have actually move on to from basic processing to more of a specialized product like chocolate, right? Let's example of mango puree or peanut-based chocolates, right? So is there any plan, like how we plan our product innovation, or do we have any pipeline for getting into such a specialized product where margin could be further high, like 2-3 level of processing into a product?
Right. So as I explained earlier, right, when we were talking about utilization of a capacity, so right now what we have done is we have introduced 5 units under one unit. We eventually plan on turning all of them into a value-driven products, such as let's say. From our unit 3, which is atta unit, right, we will do a line of noodles and fryums as well, right? That's a level up. And from there, we might enter into the industry of instant snacks, instant noodles, right? From powder spices, we have now introduced Indian chef's cup of whole spices. Another level up for more margin-driven would be seasoning, and to level up to that would be ready-to-eat. For peanut, right now we are doing deshelling of peanut. We are doing removal of skin peanut. We would do peanut butter eventually, and then we would do snacking of peanuts as well, right? And when it comes to sesame, we do a cleaning, sorting, grading of the raw sesame as well, and we also remove the skin of the sesame, which is hulling, which would eventually create a base if we want to make a product line for tahini or specialize into Middle Eastern spices, as there is an international. As the demand for international flavors has been rising in the country, right? So whatever utilities are there available with us is all for the basis of the product that will be introduced in the following years. So I hope that answers your question of how we might expand our manufacturing into more value-driven products and goods.
Sir, any timeline when we can see such value-driven product contributing to a top line?
Right. So We believe there is no point in introducing something and shutting it down as soon as there's a failure. So we rather do the market research first, since some of the products are already into developed markets. Some of the products that we have identified, which are not yet organized, we want to introduce into the organized market as well. So until and unless that research has been completed, we won't force ourselves to just do that product, because we are here for a long run, right? When we introduce something, it's a record that we have never shut it down, right? Even when it comes to our stores, we have opened 49 stores. None of them has been shut till yet, right? So our vision with any kind of introduction of a new product or let's say a new category is very clear. We first want to understand the market first, get our base right, introduce the distribution channel well, try to see that the product is accepted. Are we placing the bet on the right products? Are we satisfied with the product? It's a long exercise. But we are trying to do it as soon as we can, right? We have enough, let's say, a size of people for it who are running the show behind the doors. But if you are asking me a precise timeline, it's very difficult to say. Very difficult to say, but every 6 months, 7 months, a year, we would introduce a new product line or something like that. That's our goal eventually.
Okay, understood, sir. Sir, one more question. Like, when we had our November presentation that you published it, after that we had one call where I think the management has stated that they have secured around 20 crore approx export.
5 crores of export business, yes.
Okay. So yes. Any progress on that, sir? And that order are basically whatever we have produced, that is what we are exporting, right? Or is there any collaboration work or something?
It is purely all the manufacturing goods that we are doing, mainly powder spices. Since we have cracked the code of the consistency, as I said, right, we have all the necessary things that we need to execute such big orders. All the products that are being secured in this order are the products that we manufacture our own, be it atta, be it powder spices, be it peanut, right?
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Thank you, sir. Yes, yes, sir.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Seth from Apex Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Okay. I have a couple of operational questions, okay? So my first question would be, just wanted to understand the inventory efficiency a bit better. Like, how has the inventory turnover moved over the last years, and what's really driven that trend?
Hitesh, can you take on the inventory numbers?
Sure.
Yeah.
So the current level of inventory, considering the size of the company, is almost 210 CR. And we are targeting to maintain more or less the same inventory ratio.
Okay. And how are pricing and loyalty programs adjusted to retain the customers who may be tempted by quick commerce convenience?
Obviously with the growing competition, there is always a pricing strategy that we have, right? So there is a ridiculous practice that we do by keeping in check on the ongoing market, be it our offline competitors or be it our online competitors. We always keep a check on them. And when it comes to loyalty of the customers and trying to retain our consumers, we provide...
Apologies for disconnecting.
as I was speaking about the pricing strategy and retention of our consumers, as I said, we keep a keen eye on our on our offline as well as our online competitors when it comes to pricing strategy. We try to break deal with all the leading FMCG companies for the terms of trade, if not to get a better terms of trade than our competitors. And when it comes to retention of our consumers, we try to give them services like free home delivery and offer them 15+1, which is basically you get 1 month of free shopping on shopping of 15 months. And that has turned out really impactful for retention of our consumers. We understand the business of retail as purely a service-based industry, right? So we try to give them every service that we possibly can. So we have also introduced our omni-channel presence where consumers, for their ease of shopping, we offer them shopping via WhatsApp, our apps as well. Hello?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes. I hope that answers your question, right?
Yes, sir. So, as you scale up the store network, what are the main operational bottlenecks that you are seeing today, and how are you thinking about fixing them over for the next few quarters?
Sorry, can you please repeat the question?
Like, as you scale up the store network, what are the main operational bottlenecks you are seeing today, and how are you thinking about fixing them over the next few quarters?
See, whenever we open a store and carry on the operation, the biggest challenge that we face or that general within retail is to try to fill up our shelves as soon as we can, right? We never want it to be empty, right? Now, to solve that problem, we have a hub and spoke model where all the distribution is done through a central warehouse, which is situated in within 60 kilometers of all our stores. So that helps us in efficiently keeping our racks in stock by supplying them in the shortest time possible, like 2-3 hours in stock.
Okay, and the last question is Patel Retail evaluating the dark store model and quick delivery services to compete with e-commerce, like quick commerce players? And if yes, what would be the expected impact on margins and capex?
Right. So we never say never. And when it comes to the capex and the actual margins, all of those things, we have not introduced. We are just planning on building an efficiency supply chain model to first execute those things, right? And whenever you start something which is to create the value for the consumers, capex is something that can be foreseen with keeping a future with a future vision. So right now commenting on capex or any kind of margin, I can't really do that.
Okay, sir, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sakshi Shinde from Shah Consultant. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Sakshi. So, sir, I'm new to the company and I was going through the story financial. I can see this time we have good numbers in 9 months. Also, this. You know, kind of 20% up in top line. So I was looking after the story financials. So we did around 1,000 crore revenue in 23. And then there's down and it was around 800. What was the reason for that down, sir?
Right. So in the year where you saw there was a spike in the revenue, that was mainly on the account of the sugar sales that we were taking on at that time. Now, due to the government circumstances in regards to the trade of sugar,
it was banned for the next 2 years, right? So the dip that you saw was account of that. And in that year, we did around something 300 crores worth of sugar exports. I would say we were still in growth year on year. Definitely, it is not seen on the paper since there is no one particular trade that has been shown. But that's what that's what the reason was for the decline in the following years.
Okay, fair. So, and any guidelines for FY27? As we are like, I think, growing at a good speed.
We'll be doing our best. Try to give as much value to our shareholders. Try to stand on the point that stand on the commitment that we gave our shareholders before the IPO. Right, we will try to give 100% and try to give the best result that we can. We are, and it's been reflected in our past three results as well. And we plan on following the same trajectory as well.
Sir, also I was going to the website and was going to the store locations. Why we are not very much, I can't find any store in Navi Mumbai. Any specific reason why we are not present in Navi Mumbai?
You could soon find a store in Navi Mumbai region. It's just that it wasn't following in our business model yet. But a few stores in suburbs of Navi Mumbai would be seen soon. Why we didn't right now is because we have a very strict and rigorous model when we choose a store in regards to the fixed cost that has been commenced during opening of any stores. And Navi Mumbai, being a tier one city, it was just not within our range.
Myself is from Navi Mumbai, and I can see a lot of stores are there, not exactly like Patel Retail, but yeah, similar to that. So I was just curious to know that why we are not catering that market.
I don't know how they are doing their operations, but I know how we will do our operations. So whenever we enter any market, we try to make a significant impact in that market. So now that we have chosen to enter the suburbs of Navi Mumbai, we for sure try to make an impact in Navi Mumbai as well.
Okay, sir, how do we, how do you like position our Patel Retail different from DMart and other retailers?
We are value driven. We are neighborhood stores. Our design of product basket is way different than what DMart does. Our packing size is way different than what DMart does. Our quality of food is way different than what DMart does. Right? We have a keen eye on the quality of the product that we keep in our stores, and when it comes to our product, our basket design, it is very much related to the consumer that we are going to cater in that 4 kilometers of the radius that our store is being introduced, right? So that's how we try to position ourselves aside from DMart.
We are currently at 49, I think 50 stores. And what is the plan? How much we can expect by the end of
FY27?
Any plans to double this number?
No. We plan on opening 10 to 15 stores every year. That's just because we don't want to open the store, test the waters. If it's not working, shut it down. That's the waste of the capex that goes within it. It is just a depreciating model. Whenever we try to open a store, we try to do it the right way. So 10 to 15 stores in the next year. So right now, we are at the count of 49. So by FY27, you can see at the number of around 60 to 65 stores.
Good to hear, sir. Good to hear. And my last question, where I can see, Patel Retail in next 5 years?
you would see Patel Retails and all the brand of Patel Retails in your house. That's what we aim for.
Yeah, I hope you come to Navi.
We want to be a crucial part of that 3 to 4 hours that you spend every month shopping, right? We want to create that kind of experience for all our consumers. We want to give all the right brands at the all right prices with non-negotiable quality to our consumers with our brand that with our food category that's upcoming within our brands itself. So that's where we want to make impact amongst our consumers.
Good. That's really nice. And good to hear, sir. I'm actually looking forward to the updates. Thank you. That's it from my side. And all the best.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from Priyansh Meri from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Just quick question, sir. Last phone call on November, I think you mentioned that the sales that we contribute from our mobile app is around 3%, right? Do we see any positive trend? Like, is it increasing, decreasing, or how does it currently stand?
Can you just give us a second?
Sure.
It is pretty much on the same line right now, but with our new changes in the application and trying to build a new user interface, and as we are working on our quick commerce model, we certainly see a surge in revenue that's been generated from online application. But as of now, it's pretty much the same. It's around 3%. We are trying to introduce the revenue contribution from our online channels.
Okay, so sir, is this the new mobile app that we are working? Any key changes, like more partnership with any other e-commerce player or any other feature that which will be unique to this new feature?
When we talk about online business, right, our priority has always been to give value to our consumers and try to build a sustainable model. We truly believe on making the things not changing the things which are not broken. We are definitely going to try to introduce the thing that has been successful by using the benchmark strategy of the market, and we already have a mobile application. We are just going to change the user interface and add 2-3 more shopping convenience feature for our consumers. That's about it for our application model yet for now.
Sure, sir. Another side of the same question, sir. That is with mobile app, but in our retail store, I think in last call you also mentioned that our stores are doubling up as a dark stores, right, for many of these players, right? So,
We are talking with them. So, so basically what we said is whenever we introduce our quick commerce feature in our application, we could use our stores as dark stores. Apart from that, we are also talking with the key players in the quick commerce market to take up our store as the dark store. And that's still in the talks. We are trying to negotiate with them. So we just chose efficiency and why we would have a more efficient model than them. Because we would have a multiple source of revenue from the same store.
Okay, sir. So I think there's no any material. So for now, I don't think that there is any material progress has been made, right, in terms of partnership or something.
No, not yet.
Okay. Sir. In present quarter, right, there is a huge significant bump in our revenue numbers, right? Is there any one-off in terms of export order being executed or something, or like it is a sustained number that we can see for coming few more quarters or years?
As I told you, we'll try to do our best, and we are hoping to see the same trajectory growth. I'm not sure about the number, but the growth that we are seeing would be on the similar lines that we are showcased right now. Also, we have not reached a cap, right? We are still growing, and we still want to grow for that. So I wouldn't be able to give you a precise number on what the revenue that we would be doing in the following years. But we'll try to do as much as we can, put 100% of our efforts, and try to justify every possible commitment that we have given to our shareholders, and stand with our word to our shareholders.
Okay, sure, sir. Sir, one last question on our capital cycle days. Before last 2 years, right? From 2020 to 2023, for 4 years, it was roughly around 50 to 60 days. Right? In last 2 years, we have seen it to jump from 84 to now almost 100 now. So what contribute to that, sir? Like, is it like, are we extending more credit days to our channel partners, or what is the key thing? Are we focusing more on expansion, or what is the reason behind this, Jeff?
So we are trying to definitely not credit days. What we were doing in the past 22 in the past year was major of our export trade was in the nearby ports. Right now we are now majority of our export operation is in US, UK, European countries, Australia, Canada, where the transit is more than 45 days, 50 days, 60 days, right? Depending on the vessel and depending on the geopolitical situation, what route is open, what route is not open, because we see consistency in this market rather than the Middle Eastern market, where the prices fluctuation and the quality is negotiable for them, and we truly want to work in the field where quality is the main concern. Obviously every consumer needs value with the quality, but such ports, US, Canada, UK, is very quality driven market. All our machineries are such that we can make that kind of quality, right? So we thought we want to utilize this this specialty or this USP to cater much higher class of people with much higher margins, and on account of that you would have seen increase in the credit based on.
Understood. So just a follow-up question on the export part only, sir. US contribute what percent of our exports were, and the recent trade deal, right? How do you see it impacting our export business, particularly to US?
Yes. So UK is around 15. US is around 10%. UK is somewhere around 15 to 20%. Canada is around 10 to 11%. Hello?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yes.
Yes, sir, you're audible. The rest, sir, is Middle East, majority of the part, sir?
In Middle East, we only do two selected countries, Saudi and Oman, which also regulates on the European standards. Those countries, Saudi is one of our big buyers. Besides from that, Australia is there. Australia contributes 10%. US does 11%. Canada does 15%. UK does 20%. There's Sri Lanka as well, who does around 10 to 12%. There's Saudi Arabia, who contributes around 10 to 12%. There's Oman, who contributes around 5 to 6%.
Okay, so sir, as we see, it has a diverse approach geography, right? So we are not going to, we are currently focusing on a diverse strategy, right? Not focusing on, say, increasing US more or any particular market more. Is that fair enough?
See, what our approach in the export business is to try to work with the top brands within that country. Let's say, so in UK, we are working with the top three brands that are in the market, right? We are doing different products from them. We are trying to introduce our new products to them. We are trying to brand with their portfolio. All the products that they are working on, we are trying to gain that. That is going to come to us eventually, right? No consumer is going to give us everything at once. So we introduce few products to them. One, they see that Patel Retail is a reliable source. They know how quality works. They understand the market more. And then they give us three more products, and then they give us 15 more products. So that's how you see the increase in the export revenue as well. It's not only account of spreading anywhere. It's on the we want to increase the bandwidth of the product portfolio within the consumers that we have right now, because we have already chosen the right consumers that we really want to work with in that particular market.
Okay. So when you say top players of a particular market, like this logos are the retail businesses or any FMCG dedicated SMCG brand? Like I'm talking about say US, and we have POSCO, right? Big retailer. Is that a correct understanding?
Yes. So basically what we do, when I say about top players, I mean about the players who have their own private label, well established in those countries, which cater the local crowd within that country, right? So for example, I can give you in UK there is a brand called Hera, which is the leader in UK when it comes to Indian commodities, Indian spices, be it atta, be it whole spices, be it peanut, be it pulses. So we do that work for them, right? So there is a very high chance when you go to UK, Canada, US, that you would, although the goods are being made under their brand name, but it would have been manufactured within our factory.
Okay, understood, sir. So our primary customer will be more of a FMCG company, right? Not the actual retailers, right? Like LD, Lidl, FMCG company, all those.
Because that's where the volume comes, right? I mean, if I try to cater one retailers, it is high in operation cost. Plus, it is difficult to manage those containers as well, because there would be a lot of mix and match products in one particular product. So it is not very viable in terms of operations. But if you work with those companies who actually provide to these retailers, that's just a better operational way and helps secure the margin better. Plus, our product portfolio increases. There is no conflict of interest as well, because again, they are the leaders, right? I mean, supplying directly to retailers is only me destroying my limit of supplying.
Understood, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir, for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhinav Shetty from Oakland Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just had one question. I just wanted to know the implication with respect to, you know, change in commodity prices, volatility in commodity price and currency fluctuations.
The volatility and the change in the commodity prices is something that we cannot control, right? All we can do is keep a keen eye on the demand and the supply that is being seen in the market, right? So just before there is a crop harvesting, we try to do all the research that we can, right from studying the weather, right from going to the farms, trying to understand the health of the crops, trying to speak with the farmers, trying to understand what is the growth rate of the crop, and thus on basis of the that on basis of that and thus with the historical data, before the harvest we well sure know what would be the price range of that commodity in the following year. But again, there can be circumstances where there's a sudden spike in the prices of the commodity as well. But that sudden price of commodity spike is for everyone, right? So it is not just us. So the entire commodity price is going to increase, and so our competitors' price are going to increase. So that doesn't hurt us that much. Or I would say it doesn't hurt us at all. Besides that, when it comes to our own brand and securing the raw material, we try to do it in a season where the price of the commodity is lower than the following months in which the harvesting has not been done. So that's how we secure, and that's how we try to maintain the margin within our private label. And when it comes to our export orders and the volatility in those commodities for our export orders, it is going to be the same for everyone. We can predict prices. There are multiple things that we can do. So that's pretty, that's how we encounter the volatility of the market.
Okay. Yeah,
that's it from my side, sir.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Sir, do we close now or should I announce some more questions?
I think we can close. And I'll hand over to Gandhi, sir, for the closing remarks.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as the last question of the day, and now I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak.
So before I make the concluding remarks, I would like to hand over the call to
you, sir. So your voice is breaking.
Before I make the concluding remarks, I will hand over the call to Mr. Dhanji Patel. Over to you, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Dhanji Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Patel Little Limited. मैं सभी इन्वेस्टर का दिल से धन्यवाद करता हूँ कि आपने Patel Little पर भरोसे दिखाया. हमने एक छोटा किराना स्टोर से शुरुआत की थी और आज हम मेहनत और ईमानदारी से यहाँ तक पहुँचे हैं. मैं और मेरी पूरी टीम आपका ट्रस्ट बनाए रखने के लिए पूरी ईमानदारी और कमिटमेंट के साथ काम करते रहेंगे. थैंक यू.
थैंक यू. ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ किरण एडवाइजर्स प्राइवेट लिमिटेड दैट कंक्लूड्स दिस कॉन्फ्रेंस. थैंक यू फॉर जॉइनिंग अस एंड यू मे नाउ डिस्कनेक्ट योर लाइन.